In a world in which movies struggle to find plot, Alan Adams of The Main Edge breaks it down for you in Pass the Popcorn. Now on Downtown with Rich Kimball.
Let's all go to the lobby. Let's all go to the lobby.
It's time to talk movies. Pass the Popcorn is brought to you by Bangor Mall Cinema 10, 557 Stillwater Avenue, Bangor, where they have a film for everybody in the family. Alan Adams of The Main Edge in studio with us. Hello, Mr. Adams.
Hello, hello. How are you?
Wonderful. How's your Monday?
Doing pretty well, actually. It's been a little hectic. Due to the holiday falling on a Wednesday, our print timeline has been accelerated by a day.
Yikes.
So I'm actually done for the week.
Wow, good for you.
Yeah, I mean, I'll have to do my usual stuff on like Friday and stuff. But yeah, no, I'm getting the extra day. I'm getting a nice long stretch here in the middle of the week to celebrate independence and, you know, whatnot.
And heat wave, apparently.
Oh my God, yeah. So like I saw like 95 on Wednesday.
Yeah, great.
I'm not built for this, Rich.
No. No, I don't like this at all. The dog doesn't like, nobody like. Even Graham, who seems to be immune to those kind of things, middle of the night last night, came in our room. He's like, I'm hot.
I hear you, Graham.
Yeah, you better believe it, brother.
Yeah, no, I bet.
I don't care for it. I'll take it because they're telling me it's only 3 days. But anything beyond that, I'm going to have to talk to someone.
Yeah, no, you're going to have a conversation with one of the myriad weather scientists kicking around and let them know how you feel about everything.
Well, let's talk movies. You saw a couple this weekend. My goodness, I'm not... Oh, come on, let's start. Let's start with the acting chops of one Kyrie Irving, if we can, and Uncle Drew.
Absolutely. look... I'm one of those people like you. I'm one of those people like I derive a lot from watching a movie trailer. Like I'll watch a movie trailer, and sometimes you'll watch a movie trailer and it'll be like, oh, well, that looks terrible. And sometimes you'll watch a movie trailer and it's like, I would like to see that. But every so often you get one where you say, that looks terrible. I would like to see that.
Oh yes, yeah.
And that, friends, is Uncle Drew. And let me tell you, go ahead.
No, I was just saying, when I saw that trailer, my thought was, there will be no middle ground with this. It's either going to be entertaining or entertaining because it's so god-awful.
Like, it was, it's one of those things where, like, anytime the inspiration for your movie comes from a Pepsi commercial, you're fighting an uphill battle.
Oh, yeah. To start. Yeah,
But, you know, I gotta say, like, I sat down, and again, full disclosure, I'm someone who really delights in watching athletes try to act. Like, it's something that I really, really love. And I'm not talking about your Jim Browns, your Fred Dreyers, your Bernie Casey's, guys who legitimately made the transition from the playing field.
We're talking Space Jam.
Yeah, we're talking Jordan Space Jam. We're talking like Kareem in like Airplane or Game of Death. Like
Shaq.
Yes, like Shaq in anything, including this movie, by the way. He's in this one. But yeah, the movie is basically... So you've got this guy played by... his name's Dax, played by Lil Rel Howery, who you might remember as the scene-stealing TSA agent Rod from Get Out.
Oh, yeah. He was great.
Yeah. He kind of stars as this guy Dax, who's putting it together a team... for the famed Rucker basketball tournament, and he's recruited a guy, this phenomenal player named Casper, played by NBA star Aaron Gordon.
Wow.
He's got a girlfriend played by Tiffany Haddish who doesn't respect him, but he's got a plan and he's gonna win the Rucker and that's going to change everything. But then his longtime rival Mookie Bass. Played by Nick Kroll, who's phenomenal in this movie, comes along, steals his team, and steals his girl, and basically leaves Dax with nothing.
Right, so it's already got far more of a story than I ever imagined.
Right, and so Dax is at the barbershop, like you do,
yeah.
And it's very reminiscent of the barbershop scene in Coming to America, because it's basically young actors in old age makeup. JB Smoove is one of them.
Who's great.
And they basically start telling him the story of Uncle Drew. Now, the movie starts with this brief 30 for 30 knockoff where they talk about streetball legend Uncle Drew, and they have real life basketball players like Steve Nash is in a couple of times, John Calipari, Dikembe Mutombo, and anytime you get to hear Dikembe Mutombo say anything, it's a win.
Yes.
But yeah, so Uncle Drew, streetball legend, with him and his team, they won the very first Rucker tournament and then vanished. They all went their separate ways, and Uncle Drew just sort of disappeared from the scene. And this was back in 1968. And so present day, they're telling him, they're telling Dax, you need to find Uncle Drew. And wouldn't you know it, he finds Uncle Drew. Uncle Drew played in ridiculous old age makeup by Boston Celtics standout Kyrie Irving. Dax recruits Uncle Drew to be part of his team. Uncle Drew agrees with the caveat he gets to pick the roster. And so it's road trip time. We're gonna put the band back together. So we go to Washington D.C. and we get Preacher. And he just is called Preacher, played by Chris Webber. who wants to come play but can't get permission from his wife Betty Lou, played by Lisa Leslie.
Wow.
Right. But eventually
Preacher in old age makeup.
Oh, they're all they're all old people, and it's hysterical. They go to a retirement home to pick up Lights, played by Reggie Miller, the sharpshooter who's now legally blind. And then Boots, played by Nate Robinson, who looks like he's got like troll doll hair, and he's like, he doesn't talk, and he sits and he's in a wheelchair. So obviously he's going to be a fantastic basketball player. And then last but not least, they go and recruit Big Fella, played by Shaquille O'Neal, who now runs a karate dojo, and has some unfinished business and a lot of resentment. Is in the air between Big Fella and Uncle Drew that isn't necessarily fully explained right away. And along the way, Dax is regaled with bits of ridiculous basketball wisdom from the mouth of Uncle Drew. And then they play basketball. And I gotta say, it's pretty hilarious watching dudes in old age makeup play basketball. Obviously, it sets up for the final confrontation between Dax's team and Mookie's team. And I'll let the listeners guess how it all plays out.
Wow. So, this is a pretty funny premise. So there are some talented people clearly involved in this.
Well, and the smart move that was made was they let the actual actors do a lot of the heavy lifting. Like Howery's great. Like he's really funny, and is clearly a very generous performer, because there are a number of scenes in here where they're funny because he basically wills them to be funny. Like he's on screen with people who really just aren't necessarily super comfortable. They're certainly out of their element. And I don't know whether it's a combination of direction or if it's just, you know, having a willing scene partner, but they really manage to make it work. Irving's fine. He's not half bad. He's got decent comic timing, and again, there's a lot of basketball stuff. Chris Webber is surprisingly good. Nate Robinson has like two lines, so that's not a big deal. Reggie Miller's not great. Lisa Leslie's very good. But yeah, it's and I gotta say, I don't know how he does it. Nick Kroll can create the most off-putting, irritating, like just rage-inducing characters and still make you laugh. Like it's like, oh, this guy sucks so much, and it's so GD funny.
He did it every week on the league.
Right, right. And it's just like, but like real, like gum chomping, like hip-hop white guy kind of stuff. Like it's just ridiculous. But yeah, the comedic performers are very good. I was shocked by how entertained I was by this movie. I was not expecting much, and I got a lot more than I was anticipating. Again, I'm not going to say it's a good movie, not really a bad one either, but it's certainly entertaining. And honestly, at this stage of the game, like anything that gets you out of the heat for 2 hours,
right,
and that you don't hate is going to be a win. And yeah, so Uncle Drew.
All right, how about the sequel that apparently the world was asking for?
It's such a weird thing. Like, I don't know what process went into the creation of Sicario, Day of the Soldado. Soldado? Yeah, Soldado.
You got me.
Yeah, Sicario 2, we'll call it. Electric Sicario Lou. Yeah, it's basically a continuation of the frankly excellent 2015 movie, Sicario, written and directed by Taylor Sheridan, starred Emily Blunt, Josh Brolin, and Benicio del Toro. Sheridan took a step back from the director's chair for this one, although he did write the screenplay. And yeah, it's basically the continuing adventures of Matt Graver, played by Brolin, and Alejandro Gillick, who is the character played by Benicio del Toro. This time, Graver is basically recruited by the U.S. government, specifically the Department of Defense, led by Secretary of Defense, played by Matthew Modine, who's in this movie. He's basically informed that due to certain unfortunate events, drug cartels are being officially reclassified as terrorist organizations, which puts them more firmly into the purview of do whatever it takes. So Graver immediately, re-recruits Alejandro to get back into the game. He's the one played by Del Toro to try and sort of start an inter-cartel war with minimal involvement, or at least minimal appearance of involvement from outside forces. And their plan to do that involves kidnapping the teenage daughter of one of the cartel bosses, and finding a way to subsequently pin said kidnapping on another cartel and starting the fighting that way. But as you might expect, things don't necessarily go the way is planned. It turns out when you're dealing with drug cartels and wildly corrupt government institutions, you can't really trust anybody. And so things go off the rails pretty quickly. I don't want to go into too much detail because, again, there are some spoilers there. It's funny because there was a lot of depth and complexity to Sicario. Got a couple of Oscar nominations, like really a surprisingly complicated and nuanced movie. Emily Blunt is not back in this, and she was essentially the moral compass for this. And so basically you've replaced the moral compass of the movie with more gunfire. And so you've got a couple of guys, your stars, existing in a sort of amoral vacuum that kind of leaves you like, I got no problem with an anti-hero, like that's fine. But some of the things that are done without hesitation in this movie are unsettling, a little off-putting, and it's this form of these toxic tough guy kind of attitudes that it's just without the balance, it just gets a little dark, gets a little bleak. Mm-hmm. The narrative, while interesting enough, it just isn't engaging enough to sort of elevate beyond that lack of balance. And I think that makes the movie a bit of a slog. Honestly, if it was, if it had a different name and you changed the names of some of the characters,
right,
I think it works better. Like, I think it's just the first movie was so good, and to sort of make these ties, some are very clear, but others are tenuous at best to that previous movie with this new one. It just doesn't quite work. Like, it's a well-made movie. The performances, like Brolin and Del Toro, are fantastic. Like, they're both very talented guys. So they bring that to the table. They're both giving strong performances, but ultimately, like, it's just too much like of the same. It feels a little one note in a lot of ways, and I guess that's the biggest problem with it, because that first movie did have those shades of gray, and this one it's not even black and white. It's just black. It's very dark.
Sicario 2, Electric
Sicario.
I like that a lot. Yeah, it's nice. Thank you, Alan.
My pleasure.
I enjoy your fourth. We have a special show that day. So.
That's right. I will be. I will probably be listening. I will not be here.
Well, you'll be in the basement trying to keep cool.
Yeah. Right. We might actually be making a venture out to a friend's camp. on the glorious 4th.
Be a good day to be in the water.
Seems like it, right? I'm not really a swimmer, but you know, I think I could probably make an exception.
You're a floater, I'll bet.
I'll float. We all float down here, Rich.
Alan Adams of the Main Edge. Pass the popcorn on downtown.